Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there is so much meat in our readings for today. You know, the Beatitudes. Well, I thought about that, so I went back and checked my sermons. Last 2 years, I preached on the Beatitudes. So I'm not going to preach on the Beatitudes today. But what I also saw in our readings was the Holy Spirit and talking about how He works in us. And I thought, you know, that is probably something that is good for us to talk about today. You know, as part of studying Luther's Small Catechism for us that are Lutheran Christians, we know the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. You know, that's the job of the third part of the Trinity. But is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as it used to be called, an it or a He? Well, of course, it's a He. We know that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But to understand the Holy Spirit, we have to view Him through the second person of the Trinity, which is Jesus. In Luther's discourse on 2 Corinthians, Luther quotes the Apostle Paul. Now, this is what Paul says. Christ takes on our sin and gives us His righteousness. Well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? We know that. But remember that to redeem, which is what gives us our righteousness, means to ransom. That's what redeem translates as. So Jesus says, I have a deal for you. But seriously, when Jesus prays for our sin, the other part of this deal is that we take on His righteousness. All right, so where does the money change hands? Think about that for a second. What do we have to do to earn the righteousness? Nothing. Yeah? Believe in Him. But if we receive this righteousness, is this something then that comes from us? We deserve it, right? No. Or is it something that comes to us? Well, of course it comes to us. You know, the people that are part of this congregation, when I went through catechism as a kid, Pastor Mueller, Vern Mueller, good German Lutheran, okay? Still talked with accent. He was a second lieutenant in the United States Army, captured by the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge, put into a German prison or war camp. Had to take his crosses off because they were executing pastors. By the end of the war, the Germans had found out that he was a German Lutheran pastor. Guess who he ministered to? Not to the prisoners, German army. Because they said, what do? We followed orders, you know. So it's funny, God will put us where He wants us. And how does He do that? Well, the Holy Spirit leads us, doesn't He? Isn't that the job of the Holy Spirit? Luther's explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed says, Holy Spirit, I cannot by my own wisdom or strength, I cannot know my Lord Jesus Christ or come to Him. But I've been called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. So not only have I been called to this position, you've been called here as Christians by the Holy Spirit. Why? The Bible tells us that. There are some Christian pastors, and I shouldn't complain or criticize, but this is one that gets me, who tell us that it's all up to us. Well, Joel Osteen, you know, is the one. I probably shouldn't say his name, but we are the empowered ones. We control our destiny, especially some famous TV preachers. But we work at our fate. But do we control our fate? No. We're led by the Holy Spirit. So where does this come from? All right, last week, did you pull up to McDonald's at the drive-in? No? Okay. You got it. So, you want to take it? Oh, can I take your order, please? Well, let's see. Remember Bob Newhart used to do this? Well, let's see. I'll take the happy blessing with more Holy Spirit on the side, you know, that can help when I run out of options. None of you did that this week? Why not? Doesn't work that way, does it? It'd be nice if it did, you know. So when we drive up to the window and ask for our order, every time we ask for something special, and the worker says, hey, wait a second, it's in there. More love, it's in there. More guidance, it's in there. Well, you get the idea. So why does the Holy Spirit work the way He does? It's the title of my sermon today. When we're baptized, okay? It's over there. But when we're baptized, we are baptized into Jesus' death and life. If you notice, I didn't say we were baptized into His life and death. We're baptized into His death and life. The cross and the resurrection. So since we are joined to Him and to the Holy Spirit, it works in our lives. Paul puts it this way in Romans. Thus, in spite of still being sinners, we can now live by faith in Christ's righteousness. You know, so when we start talking about, it's not something I came up with or Luther came up with. You know, here is what Paul says. Now we can endure temptation and suffering because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what happens at baptism? I've talked to you before that baptism is an exorcism. Why? We get rid of the bad and put in the good. Folks, Luther didn't make up this theology. I just read you some of it came by Paul. You know who was one of the biggest persons who decided, who explained this to us? St. Augustine around 300 AD. You know, Luther lived in 1500, Augustine 300. That's 1,000 years, actually 1,100 years before Luther. St. Augustine is a great theologian. In fact, he is quoted, I don't know how many times in the book Concord. I know St. Thomas Aquinas is quoted 47 because I did a paper on that. But, you know, when we start looking at this, St. Augustine says this. This love is infused into our hearts and written on our hearts. All right, infused into our hearts. I just had some iron infusion. In other words, they hook you up and they put iron into your body. All right, so that means it's poured into you, right? Okay. And it's written on our hearts. So it's infused and written by the Holy Spirit so that the law of Moses can be fulfilled. All right, what does that mean, the law of Moses? First covenant, second covenant. What's the first covenant? The law of Moses. You've got to keep all 500 or 613 laws to be saved. Man, there ain't no way that any of us can keep 613 laws perfectly. Because there's no, well, you've got to pass this the first time. Well, now, wait a second, I can't do that. I cannot by my own reason or strength. Right? So, unless we're infused with the Holy Spirit, and He writes on our hearts, you are mine. I accept you today. You got your head wet. You're mine. Augustine starts talking about the wisdom of the flesh versus the wisdom of the Spirit. Now, Galatians 5 talks about living in the flesh, living in the Spirit. What do we want to live in? Spirit. What are we stuck in most of the time? Flesh. Any negative emotion comes out of the flesh. Love, peace, you know, all comes out of the Spirit. All right. Augustine says, we have self-hatred.
Well, wait a second, I don't hate myself.
Okay. Do you love yourself? Are you happy with yourself? You know, most of the time, what does Jesus tell us to do? Love your neighbor. How many of you have trouble loving yourself before you start loving your neighbor? See what I'm getting at here? Ain't one of us can say that. Hey, remember Kung Fu? David Carradine? Okay, what did the old Chinese guy call him? Grasshopper. Ah, but grasshopper, do you love yourself? Do you even like yourself? Ah, Jesus commanded, love your neighbors as yourself. In Latin, okay, Augustine states this concept, his concept of hating yourself as odium sui. Odium. Well, there's that funny Latin language again. Odium. Odious. What does odious mean in English? Boy, that was an odious time. Not good. You know, so if something's odious, it's a trouble and we usually don't get it, right? So odium sui, we hate ourselves. Why? Because the wisdom of the flesh is our natural way of doing things. Is to seek its own interest or advantage. But what about the wisdom of the Spirit? Through the Holy Spirit seeks only the common good. It rejects one's personal good in order to love all things, including God, in God and for God's sake only. Romans 8. I mean, Paul's really clear about this too, isn't he? 300 years before Augustine. So, Augustine concludes his argument that we cannot come to the wisdom of the Spirit without God's intervention. All right? How does that intervention come to us? The Holy Spirit. You see why the Holy Spirit is important? All right, now we say the Holy Spirit's a sanctifier. What does sanctify mean? To make holy. In a little bit, we're going to sing the Sanctus. What do we sing for that? Holy, holy, holy. You know, you're exposed to this stuff all the time, but sometimes I don't explain it enough so you understand why we do it. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to be made holy. So, when we do the Sanctus, who are we singing to? Think about that. The Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed in my prayers sometimes, especially if I'm doing general prayers, sometimes I address it to God, sometimes I address it to Jesus, and sometimes I address it to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's who's in charge of that part of our lives. Do I really understand the Trinity? Nope, above my pay grade. But we know it's there, and we know it works. By the way, how do we know the Trinity is there? It's not in the Bible. That's where you got to know Greek. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and baptize all nations and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. All right. What is the name? Well, that's a word. What's your name? What's our name? What's his name? How do we know in English what name means? In Greek, for nouns, you've got 19 different endings. So when you say the word name in Greek and put the ending on it, you're very specific about what it means. So onoma is a word in Greek. My ending, singular, masculine. So the name, singular, masculine, of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Name, singular, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's one of three, isn't it? But the thing is, it doesn't come across in English. It's only in Greek do you see that difference. Okay, well, I'm getting pretty deep with you today, but that's all right, because I think you need to understand what the Holy Spirit. It's in there. My dear Christian friends, with our guide, the Holy Spirit, if we don't have Him, we're lost, aren't we? You know, there's no direction in our lives. You know, how many times have you really wanted something? Oh man, I want this job. But here's all these stumbling blocks put in front of us. Okay? Remember what Luther says about sin? Okay? No, especially for, you know, the thing is that even with our good Lutherans in here, we go through the catechism once. Do we remember it? No, there's just too much junk in it. But it's important we know it, that with sin, we trip over the curb. That's the first thing. All right, so we trip over the curb. Hey, I just sinned. Then we look in a mirror. What's in the mirror? Us. We're sinners. Then what's the third part of it? We need the Holy Spirit as our guide to lead us out of sin. Does that make sense to you? Sure makes sense to me. You know, again, we look at this stuff. It's all in there. I mean, I don't have my Bible up here today. But when we look at Scripture, the Scripture explains. But to understand, sometimes we have to go from this book to this book to this book to really follow what it means. Many times when I'm doing eSort, I'll pull up a word and it'll pull up all the things in Scripture. But many times it explains, goes through, and I'm thought, oh, now I get it. It's all in there, but we have to know how to look at it, how to read it. So, when Galatians 5 tells us to live in the Spirit, it's telling us to live in the Holy Spirit as our friend. Yeah, He's God. But hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Because when we sit down to the coffee, are we alone? No, He's with us. And He blesses us each and every day. And folks, what a blessing this is for us. Don't we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. So, may this blessing of the Holy Spirit that we receive through Jesus Christ and His gift to us on the cross keep our hearts and minds on the promise of what God does for us. Gives us life eternal in heaven with Jesus. Amen.